everyone seated?
All right. Good evening, everyone. I just want to take this time to welcome everyone and thank them for coming and to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I know there's a great program planned for this evening. I would also like to remind everyone who is participating tonight that we will not be announcing each number, so please make sure you all follow along. Before we start, I'd just like to open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us together tonight to remember the gift of your Son to the world. He owed us nothing, yet came willingly to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, this Christmas, please help us not to focus on the food and the gifts, but to focus on everything that you've done for us. And we also thank you for this time to spend with friends and family. And in your name we pray, amen.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect gift? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I
am. Tonight I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which they have come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad and saying, which was told to them concerning this child. And all that had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
journey that led so far, endless nights they traveled to follow the star. They did not find a palace, just a humble village home, and searching for a king, but finding a child, no crown, no throne. Still they bowed down, come let us adore him, oh come let us adore.
So I'm going to be reading Matthew 1:18 to 2:15. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed with Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to your wife Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife. And they did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. When Herod heard these things, he secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw a star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I call my son.
Heaven sent you to me. All the world's been praying. Who will save? But who?
Good evening, everyone. Wonderful service. I want to just thank everybody who participated and especially recognize the kids and all their effort and hard work. They did a tremendous job, and although not everybody got applauded for, we were applauding for you in our hearts. So great job. Thank you very much. Just a few thoughts as we close. I promise not to be too long. I know everybody has plans, but just a few thoughts as we consider the message of Christmas. It may not be traditional, we're not going to be talking about the manger scene or anything tonight, but just a few thoughts with the idea of what Christmas is really all about. Tonight I'd like to just you know, take a look and consider, just even tonight, just looking around this building for a moment. Look at the room that we're in and all of the details and all of the things that you see, this pulpit, all of the fine details that you see, and it's quite impressive when you look at these things and you see and you consider that several years ago, this building never existed. It wasn't here. There was nothing here but a piece of land. And it was created into this building that we're in tonight. And then as we're thinking of along the same lines, think about the world around us. Think about nature. Look at the trees outside and the snow, the beauty of nature around us, the animals, the birds that you hear singing, the food that we eat, all of these wonderful things that we get to enjoy. We see and we touch and we smell and we get to experience all of these things. And then there's the unseen things in nature that we consider. Think of all the rules that are in place that hold everything in place, everything together, like the rules of gravity, without which we would fly off into space. You know, think of all of these things and think about the seasons and the time of the day and how these things continue day after day, year after year, in order. These things are all structured and they're all, we see a detail and design in all of these things. And you have to ask yourself, could this all have happened by accident, by chance? Now take it a little more personally and look at yourselves. Look at your hands in front of you. Just look at your fingers moving and think about how those things happen independently of each other and all orchestrated by your brain and your mind, which works all of these things together in a perfect design of your body and who you are. And not only that, on top of all of the things that we have in our physical being, we have our minds, which God has given to us, to be able to think and have feelings and emotions. And all of these things happen in a brain and a mind that is more complex and beyond any design of any supercomputer that anybody could create in this world. This only happens by the hand of a great designer. And it's amazing, on top of all of those things, that each one of us is unique. Everybody is different. Everybody has their own unique personality. Everybody has their own unique differences that makes us special in a certain way. Everybody is different. And again, I ask the question, could this possibly have happened by accident, by chance, that all of us happen to be here? All of these things work in concert, in perfect harmony. It's impossible. And I just find it hard to understand how anybody could feel that way. But tonight we want to look at what all this means. Now, it's obviously not sounding like a very Christmassy story right off the bat, but let me get to my point. And the point is this, that in God's written word, the Bible that we have before us, we see that he is the original creator and the originator of all things, the designer of this world and everything in it, including all of mankind, starting with Adam and Eve at the very beginning, as we read in the book of Genesis. And God had a plan when he created this world, and he created mankind. And when we look at the great story of the Bible, we consider in Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 to 15, by the psalmist David, he says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Here we hear David speaking of how he just marvels at God's creation, and that applies to each one of us. We are in awe of him. We know that God didn't create us either to be robots. He gave each one of us a mind that we can think, that we can make decisions and choices, and ultimately he made us so that he could have a relationship with each one of us individually in perfect harmony. In the beginning, as the book of Genesis states, everything that God created was perfect. It was good. And sadly, Adam and Eve broke the one rule that God had made, had set before them and laid out, resulting in disobedience and what we know today as sin, disobeying God. Because of God's perfect, sinless, holy, and just nature, their sin had to be punished. And the punishment resulted in separation from God and ultimately to a sentence of death. As the world's first parents, the sin nature that Adam and Eve inherited was passed on from one generation to the next, following all the way down to us. We're all interconnected back to Adam and Eve, and each one of us is born with that sin nature, a problem that we start off with when we enter into this world, separated and enemies of God. It says so in Romans chapter 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, their eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked, it says. So they made clothes for themselves out of fig leaves, temporary clothes. It wasn't just that they were ashamed to be naked before God. It didn't matter at that time. It wasn't a big deal. They didn't know any different. They now knew that they were without righteousness. They knew there was something wrong. Their innocence was lost. Adam and Eve were no longer perfect. They were now polluted, polluted by sin in their hearts and in their flesh. They were naked before the justice of God's law, his perfect law, and the fig leaves were just a simple attempt to try to cover up what they had done before God. In the same way today, we know, we who are sinners, we try and cover up our sins before God by trying to make him happy. We try and balance the books or the scale, so to speak, so our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. Unfortunately, there's nothing in ourselves that we can do to cover up or hide the sins from an all-knowing God. You can't hide from somebody who knows everything, and God knows all things. Even worse, God's word specifically tells us in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, that all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, polluted garments. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. On top of that, in the book of Jeremiah, we're doomed even further because we're told that our hearts and our intentions are deceitful. We're desperately wicked by nature inside. So despite our best intentions, our attempts are spoiled because of our impure and selfish natures. It's a tough pill to swallow for us nowadays, especially in a day and age where we're programmed to believe that we're all masters of our own destinies and we control ourselves. Take a few moments sometime to quietly think about these things. Consider all of these things, and you'll find that it's true. You can't hide from God, and you know deep down that you have a sin problem. Each one of us does. Based on this, things sound pretty bleak for the human race, don't they? This is where the good news of the Christmas story comes in. This is where it's introduced. We hear the good news of the gospel. While some people make out the God of the Bible to be a monster, that he's unfair and a cruel judge, that's simply not true. An honest reading of the entire Bible will reveal the full character of God, and I challenge you to do that someday. Yes, he is a holy and righteous God, without sin. He's perfect. Yes, he hates sin, and because he is a fair and just God, he will punish sin. But oh, how he loves each one of us who has sinned. How much he wants for us to have the perfect relationship he intended for us. In God's love, he didn't leave Adam and Eve in their leafy suits for very long. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, that God made tunics of skin for them, and he clothed them. So where did these tunics of skin come from? At this point on, there had been no death in the world. So an animal from the perfect Garden of Eden had to be killed so that they could be covered with these clothes. And this is the first recorded instance of death in God's perfect world, and it's also the first instance where blood was shed at the expense of another. And this is a picture of a much greater sacrifice to come, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent to become the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. We read in John chapter 1, verse 29. And so the story continues today as we come here specifically to remember and celebrate God sending his very Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world as a sacrifice for the sins of everyone. John chapter 3:16, a very familiar passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this verse, these verses describing who Jesus is. Speaking in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, speaking of the Lord Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amazing. Miracle of miracles. That the very one who created us, described here in John chapter 1, who was step out of eternity into time, to be born in a world of sin, to demonstrate perfectly who God is in his life on this earth, and then to die so that all of the sins of all mankind could be placed on him so that we didn't have to be punished for our sins. And it didn't end there, because 3 days later, God showed he approved of Jesus' sacrifice by raising him from the dead, demonstrating that he had conquered sin and death for any who put their trust in him. Is God a monster who wants to punish us and hurt us? Listen to these verses and tell me what you think later. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 reads, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish or die, but that all should reach repentance." Romans 5, 8 reads, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that even when we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6, 23, the verses on the wall behind us. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I don't know why you've come here this evening. Maybe it's out of habit. Perhaps out of obligation to somebody. Maybe you've come to try and stay on God's good side. Maybe you came for the music. I know you didn't come for the speaker. Whatever the reason, I hope you do not leave this place without considering what great things the Lord has done for you. Going back to when it all started in creation, we are told in Genesis 1:27 that we were made in God's image, or his likeness. Take note of this, because it's hugely important to your future. Even though our bodies will all die someday, our souls, the real us inside, will live on forever in eternity. This leaves us with the most important decision of our lives, one that God will not force us to make. It's up to us to decide. We know that God is holy and perfect, and that he will not tolerate sin in his presence. So the choice is to live on in eternity with him, or separated from him in a place of eternal punishment that the Bible calls hell. The Bible makes the way to God and salvation very clear to us in his word, stating that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. Read in John 14, verse 6. Romans 10, verse 9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts 16, 31 tells us, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So tonight, I challenge you and I urge you that if you are still under the penalty of your sins, still doomed for an eternity of punishment separated from Him, accept the free gift that God has given and offered to you. Humble yourself before a holy God. Put aside your selfish pride and forget about what anyone else is thinking about you. All of the years of mistakes that you've made, we've all made them. We've all done wrong things. It doesn't matter before God. He'll accept you as a sinner. Admit to Him that you're a sinner deserving of hell. Acknowledge that Jesus is God and that He died for your sins. And the gift of God's forgiveness can be yours. For those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and know Him as our Lord already, please be sure to keep Christ in Christmas. Remember, let's determine to, despite all of the distractions, all of the things that are around us, let's determine to not let that overshadow what it's really all about. We came here tonight. We had a nice time. It wasn't about the music and the concert. It's what the music was about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to remember Him and to worship Him. And we should do so not only on Christmas Day and at Christmas time, but year-round. He has done so much for us. We are a blessed people. Let's thank the Lord for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship and honor Him throughout the year. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, once again, we just are so thankful to You for this opportunity to gather together, to lift up our voices in songs, through reading of the Word of God in prayer to You for the gift of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that despite our unworthiness, that You were willing to send Him as a perfect sacrifice, the perfect gift, and all we need to do is accept that gift. All we need to do is admit before You that we are wrong and that You are the only way to eternal life and to salvation. Father, we thank You for Your Son's perfect life on this earth, that He demonstrated perfectly who You are and Your perfect love and Your mercy and Your grace and kindness towards us. And God, I pray that if there is anyone here in our midst this evening who doesn't yet know their sins forgiven and is still lost and in eternity destined apart from You, work in their hearts this evening. Direct them to the Savior, I pray, Lord, that You would just not let them rest until they know the truth, until they know for sure that they are secure in You. And those of us who have trusted in You, may we live on for You. May we declare Your name before all others, that we would declare the good news of the gospel and be not ashamed of the good news that we have before us, that we would worship and remember Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and glorify Him in our lives. Be with us now as we go home to our separate places. Keep us safe on the roads. Pray that You bless each one, and that tomorrow as we gather once again to remember Your Son, the Lord Jesus, may we be filled with the fragrance of Him. May He be exalted and glorified. And we just thank You for all these things. In Your most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.